888-988-3325. Are you part of the 99%? Are you with the Occupy movement, or do you think it's just a sham? Hey, everybody, that's where we start. Kate Delaney's my name, and this, of course, is America Tonight. I started to try to put into words, you know, I started to think about this a little bit more. What does the Occupy movement mean, and what is a real, true definition of movement? If you think about it, you think the act, the process, that kind of stuff, you think of affecting change. To me, it's a change agent. If I were to come up with my own definition, that's what it would be. You're organized action, you're a group, and you're trying to be that agent of change. So is Occupy the agent of change or no? Is it, in fact, a band of people in different cities who some of them are the 99% and have the right idea, but infiltrated in between all that. You have a lot of union people. You have a lot of silver spooned wealthy kids who are hanging out protesting. But then it's like somebody said to me, well, wealthy or poor, if they're protesting and saying this isn't the direction we should be headed in as a country, does that mean something to you or not? So let me give you the skinny on what's happened. In Chicago, you had 46 people that were arrested on one of the major bridges there, the LaSalle Street Bridge. If you know anything about Chicago, you know exactly where I'm talking about. It's right there in the main artery. So there's a bunch of people that were yelling and they were noisy, just like you heard there, but they weren't destructive. And there were protesters from labor unions. There were community groups. That's mostly the people that you saw in this particular demonstration. In the West Coast, they're struggling, apparently, to stay occupied at the University of California at Berkeley because police are saying, no, and they're breaking it up. So they're having a hard time finding spots where they can gather and not get shut down. Because every time they build one of those so-called encampments, they find a way to evict them. That's what's happening. So in L.A., they marched through the financial district. They blocked a downtown street. So it snagged morning rush hour traffic. People pitched tents outside of a Bank of America office tower. Bravo. My suggestion, listen, to me, the Occupy movement is right now woulda, shoulda, coulda. It could become something more than that if it's defined a little differently. They find a different identity, in other words. And one of the things would be is, okay, you don't like what's happening with the banks. And, okay, I understand about regulation from Washington that the banks deal with. But it doesn't matter. They're sucking in that money and they're not lending it out and that's it, period. They're holding back as much money as they can, like a stingy poker player that just won't go away. And they're just eating all the chips at the table. So good for the people there. That was the right thing to do, I think. And you had arrests. So in L.A., you had about 80 people arrested. And in New York, where you heard those voices, because that's where those voices came from, this was the first place. It happened in September, and there were about 177 people that they ended up slapping the plastic cuffs on and taking them into custody. So there's been a lot of arrests, that's for sure, and there have been a lot of voices that have been heard. In some places it's a little tense, in other places not quite as tense. Sadly, in some of these encampments, crime is happening. There have been accusations of charges of rape, and there have been people that have been robbed, and that's not good because that's not what a movement is about. A movement isn't about demonstrators going after each other. And see, this is part of the problem. it's very loose as to who the people are at these different spots. And the mayors of various cities are tired of it because they feel like it's aimed in the wrong direction. Like Mayor Nutter from Philadelphia, who says, you're blocking the common man from going to work. You know, the guy who is trying to feed his family, who's not making serious money, and he's just trying to get to the office. And in some cases, that's exactly what's happening. But the more it's focused, the more it becomes something that people will consider to be more viable. And I think talk about, you got to go after the politicians because the politicians have the power. The politicians are the ones who vote, make the bills, and want to, more importantly, always remember this, get reelected. They want to be elected again and again and again. So they have to be concerned about what their constituents think. Ultimately, if they don't get the votes, they get booted out. That's where you go. You go to those offices. You find out what the voting record is. And if you don't know your representative, send me an email at americatonight.net, and we'll tell you who your representative is. It's that easy. This is nothing new that we've been talking about. We've been saying this for a long time since I first started doing the show. People don't believe it, but if you call, if you bug the congressperson, the senator, it happens in local politics. Trust me, they'll respond. Because it's about getting elected again. Just remember that. It's about re-election. The second they're in office, it's about re-election. Probably too much because it takes up a chunk of time. And then there's always the excuse. Just like Harry Reid, who's been in office forever, that was his thing, that he needed more time to complete what he was trying to do. And remember Sharon Engel, the Tea Party candidate who came out of seemingly nowhere, almost upset him. And he's a long time Democrat out of Nevada. Now, how could she have gotten that close? Because people are sick of the same old thing. They're sick of the same old rhetoric. All right, so I mentioned New York and the fact that, I'll tell you a little more, you had some of the Occupy people that were on the subways, that went down to the subways, and that's where a lot ended up getting arrested, because now they're not at Zuccotti Park. That was all cleared out. That's a private park. The police commissioner in New York said, you know, everybody keeps talking about the protesters, but what about the cops?
We've had seven officers who are injured, five who had liquid thrown in their faces.
Yeah, well, that's because you have the crowds, you have the cops, then you have the clashes. A lot of folks that are in the middle of this are accusing the cops in the beginning of police brutality. It's got to be an awkward dance that's happening, not just in New York, but in all these other places that I mentioned. And certainly we didn't mention all of them. You think of any big city and put Occupy in front of it, whether you have 10 people or whether you have 100 people protesting. All right, coming up in just a minute here on America Tonight, what about Solyndra? Is anyone going to take the fall for that? The energy secretary had lots of excuses. That's coming up. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Idea is somebody in the government to lend a guaranteed loan to a company that was making solar panels, because it's about green, isn't it? Isn't that the future? We keep hearing that every time somebody does a State of the Union address, they end up mentioning the fact that we need to create other energy sources and we need to look at the future as far as conserving energy in different ways, of course, the way it's manipulated in speeches. But Solyndra seemed like the perfect marriage for this administration and the green agenda. But boy, did that really backfire for the president. There were a ton of photo ops. I can remember seeing at least three or four pictures of the president walking through Solyndra, posing with some people, and VP Joe Biden, too. And, it, of course, it made sense because solar panels make them affordable. More people in the United States have them on their homes, businesses. But lo and behold, the Chinese Red Dragon reared its ugly head. And they were producing them much cheaper. So there was no way to really honestly compete because the market was flooded. The market was already flooded with stuff that was cheap and readily available and was already out there on the market. So earlier in the day on Thursday, the Energy Secretary Chu was grilled on the Hill. That's what he was treated to. All about Solyndra, because if you remember, there have been hundreds and thousands, seems like it anyway, thousands and thousands of documents that the White House has turned over in this investigation into what went on with Solyndra. One of the major investors of that company was also a big supporter of Barack Obama's when he, of course, ran and then won in 2008. So it does make you go, wow, where does that trail lead? And according to Chu, it's a cold trail because it has nothing to do with politics. Diana DeGette, Democrat from Colorado, and Cliff Stearns, a Republican from Florida, had some interesting things to say about Solyndra. You can imagine they didn't agree. Their points of view were different about the whole Solyndra thing.
I hope this three-ring circus leads us to a robust discussion relating to the state of our national energy policy.
While our investigation continues, it is readily apparent that senior officials in the administration put politics before the stewardship of taxpayers' dollars.
Yeah, and I don't care how they spin it. I really think they did do that. I think they're squeezing and trying to get more information out of it. And I don't think they're going to get that. But it's the same old thing that happens in Washington. Somebody ponies up money for the campaign, and there are lots of campaign contributors. But, oh, yeah, he's an investor in this energy company. Isn't this great? And he's one of them. And they are mass-producing solar panels. Does that curry any favor with the people that make the decisions on who gets these loans? Of course it has to. Somewhere down the line, it did. There has to be a conversation. We're humans, for goodness sake. It wasn't an unknown factor. They say that the Energy Department said they faced a pretty difficult decision in late 2010 to force Solyndra into immediate bankruptcy or restructure the loan guarantee to allow that company to accept emergency financing that would be paid back first if the company was still unable to recover. So immediate bankruptcy meant 100% certainty of default. And they had an unfinished plant as the collateral, and restructuring improved the chance, I guess, of recovering the money. So even though there was all this uncertainty, Chu says he made the right judgment that restructuring was the better option to recover as much as possible of that government loan. But it also meant continued employment for the 1,100 workers. He said it was worth, you know, for the taxpayers to be in line for the payment of the initial loan, and the private groups that invested $1 billion. How about that? Private money, $1 billion to that. That's how much they did the song and dance and the pony show and made people believe that this was such a feasible thing. And then, of course, there was a crisis in August, and, you know, Solyndra was not going to, they weren't going to be solid. They weren't going to be able to turn it around. So Chu changed his mind. Company files for bankruptcy, and that's a lost cause. We're not going to get that money back. We're not going to get it. And Solyndra, by the way, was the first renewable energy company to get a loan guarantee under the stimulus law. So this goes back to the stimulus again. We're going to stimulate the economy. It's going to create jobs. Unfortunately, we didn't do our homework. Now, Chu's saying that's not true. He's saying that, of course, they looked at the company. They looked at the financial aspects of producing the solar panels. But I have to believe that they didn't do due diligence on this one. Because how could everybody else, I'll say a handful of people with extreme knowledge in this area, how could they know it? And the Energy Department didn't know it. When they were looking at this loan, when they were looking at giving this loan, I think what they were doing was saying, oh, this is perfect. Stimulate the economy. We were going to do green jobs. Look, it will make a big old sexy plan out there. They've got private funds. It's going to cost a bunch of money. So we're only kicking in a little tiny part of this, and then we're going to get a big attaboy, big pat on the back with all these solar panels that are going to be produced and sold. I just find it very hard to believe that Energy Secretary Chu, at least, didn't know who this player was, George Kaiser, an Oklahoma billionaire who invested $400 million in Solyndra through an investment connected to a foundation. Now, Kaiser is saying he played no part in helping them with the loan, but they have emails that show that he discussed Solyndra with the White House at least once, and who knows how many other times. So that's a lie. He obviously discussed it. He did. Kaiser had, he had to be part of this. He had to know what was happening with Solyndra. This is what I'm saying. You're donating money. You're a campaign. You're somebody who's in the camp of the person who's running. You're getting your friends to get on board. You're somebody with a big name and a big wad of cash in your wallet. I mean, this is how these things happen. So why continue the facade? I don't know that we're going to ever get a satisfactory answer out of this. I don't think, in fact, we'll get a satisfactory answer. But I think in this case, it was right to make them squirm. I think it was right to make the administration squirm on this one, because shame on them. Shame on them. I'm tired of hearing that people didn't know it. We didn't realize solar panels were being sold cheaper, but we really did our homework. We didn't realize that one of the major investors was a major investor in Barack Obama's campaign to win the presidency on the Democratic side of things and ultimately just win the overall presidency. We didn't know that. There's too much of we weren't aware of that. I did not know that. That's just not acceptable. Or else we're really putting the wrong people in office, and Chu has to go. If these people have no idea when they're making these decisions, you can make a mistake, but this was stimulus money, so already people were on the edge about the whole stimulus thing. And the reason they went in this direction partially has to be because of this Kaiser guy. Somebody knew about that, and Kaiser was trying to lean on him. Hey, brother, help me out. You know, I helped get you the White House. Can't somebody in here throw us a bone? It's a small bone in comparison, so come on. Somebody help us. You got to pony up here. That's exactly what it was. So then if Chu is going to say it's all on me, then he has to go, because he can't have that position as energy secretary if, for goodness sake, when he looks at loans that are tied to the stimulus and you got a company like Solyndra, it could fail. But the fact that they didn't vet it closely enough, and he's saying they didn't cut corners. Oh, they had to have. Because China was producing that stuff way before it, way before any of this came out. All right, coming up on the flip side here on America Tonight, a little weekend count. Yes, it's all about the numbers, and we're going to go there next.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Are you surprised that when you take shots at the White House, and even if it takes them a couple of days to figure out that, oh, there's some bullet in the glass here in one of the main rooms, are you surprised that the suspect was charged with trying to assassinate the president? Attempted assassination, that means life, baby, if they nail him to this. It's this Idaho guy who is accused of firing those two shots. And some of the crazy ramblings that he said really hurt his situation. Ramiro Ortega Hernandez of Idaho Falls made his first court appearance before a federal magistrate in Pittsburgh. This was just a day after they picked him up in a hotel room in Podunk, western Pennsylvania. And he's going to be taken back from a federal court to face the charges in D.C., because that's, of course, what they would do. He's just 21 years old, and he said a bunch of crazy things to people, and he was arrested near Indiana, PA. So why was he arrested? Because they could trace everything to him. The FBI took custody of his car. They processed him, all that kind of stuff. When they pulled his car, well, what happened is they say a guy who was dressed in black and who was obsessed with the president pulled his car within view of the White House on Friday and then fired shots from an assault rifle, cracked a window in the living room, the family's living area, while the president was away. Then they found the abandoned car, an assault rifle inside it near a bridge leading out of Washington, D.C. to Virginia. So that car, of course, was traced to Ortega. Some of these FBI people are pretty smart. He didn't realize. Did he ever watch any of the CSIs or any of that kind of stuff? How easy it is to track someone? Anything to do with the FBI. Yep. So he could face life for that because of the assassination attempt. He's probably gone for good. Now, he might be in an asylum or some other kind of mental facility for a while because, of course, the insanity play is written all over this, tailor-made for it. This is a crazy story that fits into We Can Count that'll make you probably a little bit squeamish. There's a reason why people fear hospitals and fear going under the knife. A 3-year-old boy had his eye accidentally glued shut by a doctor at a hospital in Northern Ireland. Sam Caldwell was taken to Ulster Hospital. That's near Belfast. He had a cut on his right eye. So, of course, what do? Your kid gets a cut. It's bleeding. You take him to the hospital. Get it sewed up, right? That's what they did. And they said the best way to close the wound was to use medical glue. So after about 20 minutes, the doctor told the kid to open his eyes. But he couldn't. His right eye was completely glued shut. Why is that? Because they put too much on the lid and it had slid around his eye. Oh, what a brutal thing to happen. So here's your number, one of your numbers anyway. They say it's going to take at least 4 days to wear off and that he'd get used to it, that it's going to take that much time and then he's okay. And his mother said he's afraid to open his other eye. He went in with a minor cut. He comes out with a glued eye. Oh, it's terrible. Think of glue. Somebody tell me they were putting glue in my eye wouldn't make me feel, or near my eyes wouldn't make me feel comfortable anyway. So what do? You just got to do lukewarm water. You got to try to loosen it up with, like, the eyelashes. But otherwise, he's got to wait it out. He's got to wait it out. Son, don't worry. I promise you're going to get your sight back in that eye. Just let that glue wear off, right? Just let it wear off. Once it does, you're going to be okay. Oh, great. Thanks. Gives new meaning to one eye open, doesn't it? Because this kid is probably, this mother saying, he's even afraid to close his eye. I'm not going to close my eye. I'm just going to sleep with it open. Imagine trying to explain that. It was just an accident, dear. That's all it was. It was just a crazy accident. I promise. It's all going to be okay. I smell a lawsuit coming on. What do you think? If this was the United States, I wouldn't even say that because I think it would be automatic. In Ireland, could be the same thing because just go after the hospital. They screwed up and they admitted they screwed up. So, yeah, I would think that you'd have kind of a leg to stand on here. Let's move on to something else. Something of interest that fits into We Can Count. Not that the other stuff wasn't, but how about this? The United Nations is saying now, look out when it comes to food. I mean, as much as we can attack certain things we hate about the United Nations, maybe some of you don't feel the same way that I do. The one thing that you do probably want to happen and do like about the United Nations, or at least I would, is, of course, if you're going to have the organization, what do you want to do? You want to be able to feed people because that's what the United Nations is supposed to do. You're supposed to be able to go out there and look and see where the need is and try to help so many starving people in different parts of Africa, for example. And they're saying they're falling short by, what was the crazy number that I saw? I want to say it was 1 billion. 1 billion shortfall. Whew. It's going to be tough to make that up. So with all this global crisis and the economies collapsing in some of the wealthier nations, they've been the biggest donors to the World Food Program. So now all of a sudden your donors don't have that money anymore. They're coming up short. More notably than any other place, the nations with the most cash in the bank, where do you think they are? Saudi Arabia and China. And they're still kicking money in. They pony up some money, but they aren't the ones that put in the most. The United States, for one, is one that one of the countries that, as we all know, we're the most charitable, so we put money into it. A lot of people put money into it, but some of the other countries like Italy, like the rest of Europe, they're cutting back, and so that's a pretty big loss, I would have to say. And the heels of that, the United States announces a $10 million Thai flood relief package. Yep, while we were busy with our own problems here in the United States, they're having a heck of a time in Bangkok, and the U.S. Secretary of State, which would be one Hillary Rodham Clinton, announced that there was going to be an aid package for food and whatnot for Thailand, $10 million, and in an effort to try to express, you know, solidarity, help, whatever we can do. See that? The United States, I swear, always there. It's like that cousin. The cousin you don't hear from too much, but you like him. And if you were ever in trouble, you know you'd go to that cousin. We're that cousin. And then when it's convenient, my cousin's okay. That's how the United States is viewed. Help us. We need your help. If you don't help us, you're awful. But when we're done with you, we're done with you. So some of 20 of Thailand's 77 provinces have been hit hard by floods since late July. Most of the really bad flooding where you can see that people are floating in things and you still have water that's past the doors and whatnot. You got about 20 of the 77 provinces, like I said, that have been hit the hardest. And if you go by the numbers of the people, which is what you care about, right, one-fifth of the country's 64 million people have been affected by this. Whew, that's a pretty big number. One-fifth. And we've always stood by Thailand. And certainly, they've been a long ally of the United States. So Clinton is in the area to go to a summit in Bali, Indonesia, and now announcing that and getting a view of what's happened with the floods and how they're dealing with it. But the pictures are pretty nasty. I mean, it's pretty bad. A lot of the places that are just east of Bangkok are flooded. And it's going to take a long time to have that water reach the Gulf of Thailand because the runoff spread to some major areas, major roads in a big city like Bangkok. That's tough, so it's tough to drive through there. And you've got to wait to dry out. That's the answer. You got to do what you can and try to dry out and help in giving people food and whatever warmth they can provide with blankets and that kind of stuff. But it's pretty tough, and they get those monsoons, so they know that that's always possible, but yet there's sort of a blindsiding element to it because they weren't necessarily in some of those areas expecting it quite as bad as it was and how they were hit, and it's really tough with the amount of people that they have, really, really, really tough. So, Day of Action, that's what Occupy called it, Occupy Wall Street. Did they have a day of action? You had crowds that marched on the Brooklyn Bridge. That happened later in the day. You had also people who marched in the subways. And you had a lot of people that were arrested. But did it have its intended conclusion at the end of the day? You got some interesting photographs. You had people that were arrested, and you had people that were bleeding at the end of it, especially the Brooklyn Bridge thing. But I think they have to get more organized and really, as I said earlier, point in the right direction. Point themselves in the right direction of the venom.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver. That's UTOPIA Silver, UtopiaSilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriot e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Jason Lewis here. With the holidays just around the corner, be sure to consider the greatest gift you can give to your friends and family: peace of mind. That's why I choose WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna, savory stroganoff, and pasta alfredo that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. And they're ready to eat in minutes. Simply add hot water. Request a free entree sample today at WiseFoodStorage.com. And for a limited time, get free shipping and 10% off of your order. That's right, a free entree, free shipping, and 10% off any order. Just use promo code Lewis. Call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit wisefoodstorage.com. That's Wise, W-I-S-E, foodstorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price and the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love this holiday season.
Finally get the payoff, who have sent me emails about a slew of different things. So without further ado, as the Stones are being ushered out, let's run to the mailbag.
The mail! The mail is here! Ooh!
Ooh, the mail is here. Okay, this one's our first one up, and it's from Jake in Austin. He sent us a couple of different flavors. He had a lot of things on his mind. He says, Kate, I'm tired of it all, I'm telling you. I feel like I want to move someplace else if I didn't love this bloody country so much. It is frustrating. I have a lot of friends who are smart people who are having trouble trying to get it together, trying to figure out ways to make ends meet, and I'm 28 years old. What does the future hold for all of us? I've heard you talk about the American dream, and does it really exist? I heard a caller just the other night say that he used to be on welfare, and now he has two businesses. He sort of gave me a little bit of hope. I think my friends need more of that hope sprinkled around, and frankly, I don't find it with much coming out of Washington. Yours always. Yeah, it is. It does have that feel of desperation, doesn't it, around the country? Desperation in the sense that, or maybe it's, you know what it is? It's probably what it is that we were able to, in the late go-go 80s and the 90s, a lot of people were able to spend and not worry about it because they always figured, well, I can always find work and there's always a job and there's always a decent paying job. But that's not necessarily true now. And I don't want to just keep pounding the same old point. I hate to hear the sound of the horses, the dead horses that are coming up upon me here in the studio. But it's true. We aren't making a lot. We really aren't. I did this little experiment, and some of you participated, and I was so happy that you did. Go around your house, if you've never heard me say this before, and start to lift things up and see where stuff's made. See where your stuff is made. And you'll be surprised that most of it is not made in the United States. Or maybe you won't be surprised because you already are well aware of that. But you'll see that most of it is China, but some other places too, but mostly China. And we're not making stuff. It didn't used to be that way. I mean, certainly in my grandmother's time, and if I went to back to my great-grandmother's time, most of, not that nothing was imported, but a lot of what they got and a lot of what they used was definitely made in the U.S. And it's just frankly not happening enough, and that's killing. It's killing the middle class, and it's killing a lot of that American dream, though I still think it's possible, because that's one of the discussions that we had. And I guess the answer is yes, if you really want it badly enough, but boy, you're going to have to really, really want it. So let's say before, it might have been a little bit easier to achieve the American dream, because things didn't cost as much, and as I just mentioned, more things were made in the U.S., and there were more job opportunities. So if you lost a job or something happened, I think you always felt like you could turn around and get another one pretty quickly. Now, not the case, because you have people lining up, hundreds of people applying for sometimes we're in organizations where they only have one or two jobs, and they're stunned by how many folks are applying for jobs that they're well overqualified for. Let's go to this one. This comes to us from Cheryl, who says, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not. I know sometimes you talk about crimes in court. Did you see the story about the woman who was a nurse, and she's now being charged in the death of her teenage daughter? It was really strange. She had a 14-year-old daughter who was riddled with cerebral palsy and weighed not very much, and apparently she couldn't take it anymore. She was denying it, but she's being charged in this case. I think it's just so sad. What drives you to the point of malnourishing your child? How does somebody do that, no matter what it is that they're struggling with? Well, here's the thing. I'm going to agree with you, Cheryl. I'm going to say that if you go down that path of being a parent and you have love in your heart, how could you possibly, I mean, all the things that people struggle with, you pray that you have a healthy kid and everything's okay, but if you're not dealt that hand, and so this woman wasn't dealt that hand. She had a daughter who had cerebral palsy, as you mentioned in your email, and she was whittled away to 28 pounds because her mother was starving her. So a grand jury found that they had enough to indict her on involuntary manslaughter charges. And then there were some other nurses who were indicted on a lesser charge, too. I didn't realize this, of child abuse, I guess, or neglect. And all of them are in jail at this point because they just weren't nourishing the kid. and they didn't do it. That's what they did. They didn't give her the food that she needed. So Malachi Norman died March 1st from neglect, from nutritional neglect, and just, boy, it just seems unbelievable to me. I know that a mother could do that, even if it's a rough, like I said, a rough thing to have to deal with. Man, she was supposed to be cared by her mother and by these nurses, and they were supposed to give her care for, I guess, 6 days a week or something. And yeah, I think some other things will probably come out, but that was a very sad, sad story. All right, let's go to this one here. Boy, you guys are all over the map. And these are fresh emails from today. Here's one from Bob Wood, who says, hey, no relation to Natalie Wood, but I just read that they're opening the investigation, or reopening, as it were, of her death. Do you know anything about that? Only what I read, just the same thing that probably you read as well, that they're looking into it after 30 years. It's been that long, 30 years, since she was on a boat with Christopher Walken and her husband, and Robert Wagner, and she drowned after partying with them. They were in a movie, or Walken was on a movie with her called Brainstorm, and they had a yacht. Wagner had a yacht, and they were out on that boat off of Santa Catalina Island, from what I read, and they ruled the death was an accident, that she had been drinking and before her death, and that's what happened. They say a dinghy that was attached to the yacht was found in the cove, and then she died because she wasn't somebody who could swim, so she drowned in the water off of Southern California. But I guess I don't know why, but why would they reopen this? A detective is holding a news conference and is asking anyone with information about the case to contact them, so they must feel like they have a reason to open this. Yeah, wow. Rough for her kids, because her kids were young when she drowned. There's just speculation that something else happened here, that there was some kind of foul play, even though that's not what it was ruled. That's kind of interesting. It's kind of wild that somebody sent me an email about that. How about that? Okay, here's another one from Joey D. Joey D might have the last word here on America Tonight. Kate, of all the candidates that are out there, now we have Newt Gingrich, who suddenly is propelled to the head of the line. You have to be kidding me. Do you think women will really vote for this guy after he ditched two women in one of the most brutal ways possible? Plus, he has other baggage attached to him as well, even if he is smart. I heard you mention his knowledge of history and his experience as a politician. Yeah, well, that's going to be up to the voters to decide, certainly in the primaries and the caucuses. And is he going to be the last man standing? Maybe not. Seems as though Mitt Romney, even though a lot of people that call this show and things that I read say they don't want Mitt, anybody but Mitt, for some reason, he seems to get the most support when it comes to the polls. So there's just a small chance it'll be Newt Gingrich anyway.